Hi, Dan Sheridan here telling America's story. This is Lesson 55 in our series, and this one is entitled The Birthday of America's Free Institutions. The year is 1619. These first 12 years, from 1607 to 1619, the governor and council of the colony was appointed by the London Company, and these guys pretty much did whatever they wanted. One governor, a man named Captain Argall, A-R-G-A-L-L, was tyrannical and arbitrary. He proclaimed martial law in times of peace, and he enforced his laws by the end of the bayonet. Well, now, this kind of arrangement would have been fine for the French or even the Spanish, but not for the English. You see, the English had a heritage of self-government through representative bodies. And back in England, each township or parish elected one of its own to represent them in the county court. And by the 13th century, this practice was applied to the national government as well, when the towns and counties would select reps who would sit in the House of Commons. So it began small, locally, and then it extended over the whole kingdom, this principle of representation. And that's where the principle of taxation without representation was developed. Now, only the people's reps, the House of Commons, could take the people's money by taxation. And remember, kings didn't like this arrangement at all, and they tried as often as possible to rid themselves of this nuisance to their power, but the kings couldn't. After all, remember, whoever controls the purse controls the world, and giving the purse to the people's reps gave the people a lot of power. Well, this is the land that the colonists came from, a land of political freedom, and they had fought for that for many centuries, and the colonists brought this freedom with them. The colonists complained to the company about Argall's oppression, and a man named George Yeardley arrived in 1619 to, hear their troubles and investigate the matter, and he found out that Argall was, indeed, he was the culprit, and so Yeardley abolished those oppressive laws of Argall. However, even though the colonists were happy with that, they wanted more. They wanted to go at the source of the problem, arbitrary government. Now, in 1619, there were 4,000 white inhabitants living in 11 different settlements or boroughs. These districts wanted to form a representative government of their own choosing, and the London Company agreed. So each borough elected two reps to sit in the first representative assembly ever held in America. And their first meeting was held in the choir of a small church at Jamestown on Friday, July 30th, 1619. This gathering became known as the House of Burgesses. And they're kind of like a miniature House of Commons, a mini-me, as it were, for the House of Commons. I hope you got that reference. Now, only this House of Burgesses could tax the people. Now, like Parliament and our own system today, Virginia now had two houses, a council, which represented the king, and a House of Burgesses, which represented the boroughs. A borough is essentially an old English name for towns, and a burgess was the rep from the borough. So the colonists got what they wanted. They abolished arbitrary government. The power of the governor was now limited by the council, and only the House of Burgesses could raise taxes. So July 30th, 1619 should be celebrated by Americans as the birthday of our free institutions. We should put that in our calendar, honestly. Now, what's fascinating is that one of the members of this first assembly was a Jefferson, whose famous descendant, 157 years later, would write the Declaration of Independence. You know, this legislature was a model to other colonial legislatures, and it also served as an indispensable school for the statesmen and soldiers of Virginia throughout its history, from the colonial days through the Revolution to the time of statehood. These meetings produced men like Patrick Henry, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and James Monroe. The House of Burgesses, this practice ignited a new flame of liberty in America. This form of free government, combined with the availability of cheap land, caused the English to come over to America in droves. They saw they could come here and see that their English liberties would be preserved. Of course, as we're going to see in coming lessons, that wasn't always the case, as kings don't like when people are free. Okay, one more thing before we close, and perhaps the most important. Before this time, the colonists were mostly men. The London Company, however, decided at this time to make the colonists feel more at home. So in the spring of 1619, they sent over 90 single women of good character to the colony. Now, it worked out like this. The single men met the women at the wharf, picked a woman he liked, and if she consented, he'd pay the ship captain her passage cost, and then they'd find a minister, get hitched, and raise a family. Not much for courtship, right? They just met him at the wharfs, got married, went home, and started a family. And it was truly at this point that any talk of returning to England vanished, because family ties were now established in America. So we might truly say this, that it's the women that give America stability. Now remember when we said that kings were always enemies of English liberties? Well, how would King James and Charles I react to that liberty in America? I'll tell you that in our next lesson. This is Dan Sheridan. I hope that's all I have time for. Listen, I really hope you learned something. Until our next lesson, remember this. Be good to one another, because we're in this together.